an hour. That's all. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. This is issue 171, the first of a quatret. I don't know. What do you call a five of things?
Quintuple?
A quintuple of episodes not featuring my usual co-host, Cole Houston. He's off doing all con things. What you thinking about? Just all con things. But in lieu of that, bringing in a bunch of special guests for the next five issues, I'm very pleased to have returning to the podcast tonight, each of them returning to the podcast. And this podcast is special for two reasons. Reason number one is, for the first time ever, this is an all-Ohio cast. All-Ohio. No Texas, no Tennessee, all-Ohio. And number two, the two guests that I have, one being, joined us on the USG role-playing D&D show, which he was dynamite, pure dynamite on. That would be Kurt Moxe. Kurt, are you out there?
I am.
That's Kurt. And the other being joined us for the I Want for Christmas episode?
The knockoff toys.
The knockoff toys episode, right. Because we talked about you on the All I Want for Christmas episode because you're the only person that actually went and bought that shitty Batman drone. Jordan Wog is with us. So, to Ohio...
That thing broke.
We wanted a report on it. Maybe we'll get a report tonight. But I'm... first of all Ohio cast, which is awesome. Second of all...
Woohoo, the Buckeye State.
This is the most German cast. I am worried about my muddled heritage right now. This is the most German cast that we've ever had. I've got a Moxe and a Wog with me tonight. I'm kind of worried. Should I be worried, gentlemen?
There's no reason.
Only slightly.
There's no reason to worry. Get in the shower! So, apropos of nothing.
Ask the questions.
Do you have the papers? Speaking of the papers, my favorite papers come in the form of character sheets. That is a professional segue. That's what that is. Tonight we're talking... Damn it. Tonight we're talking about comic book games. Role-playing games, video games... games of all sorts. So I brought my two favorite role players with me tonight. Talk about this. Kurt and I have a long and illustrious career of playing tabletop role-playing games together, and Jordan is a budding role-playing ingenue hailing from the hills of West Virginia. I don't know. You're not. You're not from the hills of West Virginia.
What the hell's an ingenue?
No.
I think that's the thing between your wiener and your butt.
Is that like the singer Maya Angelou?
First of all, she's a poet. You uncultured freak. Second of all,
she is a singer. I maintain that.
She's
a bard.
I'll give you that. She is a bard. But I don't know if she's a singer. So tonight, I want to open this by talking about a comic book. See, here's the thing. We say it's going to be a comic book role-playing game show, but in reality, it's going to be a show where we talk about role-playing games. So I want to start this by talking about the Marvel role-playing game. That was my first comic book role-playing game. I know Kurt has vague recollections. I'm guessing that Jordan has no idea what this thing is.
No, not at all.
It was a monstrosity. It was a horrific nightmarescape of a tabletop game.
It came from the dark days of TSR.
When TSR thought they could do anything, literally thought they could put anything on paper and make it work, it was awful. It was...
That's not the one where you have to roll like an entire fistful of D6 to do anything, is it?
No. Okay. That's another... No, this one was all based... In the infinite wisdom of TSR, this game was all based on percentile. So, two tens. That was pretty much it. That's what you played with. Now it's pretty standard to do a percentile-based game. Back then it turned the world on its ear.
Only thieves use statistics.
Only thieves, only dirty thieves and Wall Street hooligans use statistics. But it wasn't the statistics. They were a big enough problem. But it was the way that the game, it was, because at the time, the big D&D game, second edition, was out. When the advanced edition of the Marvel game came out. And second ed D&D is the way I like my role-playing games. I want to have to reference 17 books, 13 charts, and literally have a handful of dice. You should not be able to play a role-playing game without 4 d20s, 8 d4s, a couple d8s, maybe a d6. But
no, 37 d6.
37 d6. No, that's Warhammer.
No, that's fireball spells, man.
Ah, goddamn fireball spells. Back when Kurt and I played, fireball spells were based on a multiplier based on your level.
Oh yeah, 1d6 per caster level, right?
No. Yeah. Started at 3d6, didn't it, Kurt?
I think it was 1d, well, it did because you started a third level spell, but then it went all the way up to like delayed blast fireball was like 20d6.
Right. You would just
roll your damage.
You literally just like backed up a Tonka truck and dropped it full of d6s. This load-bearing amount of dice just got rolled out, and then you had to spend a half hour counting. Like, one encounter took, like, an hour, not because it took that long to roleplay, but it took that long to actually count the pips on D6s for lightning bolts and shit. But this game was more of a storyteller's game, where you would roll up your character, which would take approximately 7 days in a sweat lodge with a Native American shaman guiding you.
And the peyote.
It used the most metal attribute system in the world, which was Face Rip was the name of it. Face Rip. It stood for Fighting Agility, Strength, Endurance, Reason, Intuition, and the Psyche. And you would create your characters based on that. You would roll them up, roll up your characters, like, sort of like a D&D style, and then you would... And then you would have to come up with your backstory that would give you your powers. You'd have to be able to sell that to your DM about what your powers were and why, based on your backstory. So you could really do just about anything. In D&D, and I believe in Pathfinder, at least to some extent, you're a little more structured in your building. In this, didn't matter. Do whatever. Whatever. Within the Marvel Universe world, and you could make a... You could make a character out of it.
I am a lost Aztec alien.
Yeah, no, you could. That would fall that would fall strongly into the aliens category, which is a blanket term used for any non-human or extra-dimensional being. So according to this game, Thor and Hercules were aliens.
Well, yeah.
I don't think Hercules was an alien.
Hercules was something.
Hercules was just beautiful. Smelled like lilacs and summer rain.
And had goats.
That, had that harness, had that wonderful, beautiful harness. It's fantastic. But yeah, this game was a monster. This game took forever to play. And then, unlike, let's say, Dungeons & Dragons or Pathfinder, more like 5th Ed, where at the end, it was up to the DM. I had high school and junior high friendships almost break up over this game because it was up to the DM. You couldn't say, all right, I killed 4 bugbears, opened this many chests, did this. So, you know, by this calculation, I get this much XP and I level up. In this game, it was up to the DM how you got your karma or experience points to willy-nilly deal out. Like, you did a cool thing, you get karma. Well, I did this. Well, that wasn't good enough. Like, so... Based on the DM's asshole level, that's how you got your karma points. Game was ridiculous and bad. So what do you remember about this, Kurt?
I remember the shifts. Like, the like weird, retarded, super pain in the ass shifts. Like, by the rules, literally Wolverine couldn't do anything. I mean, like, by the rules. Like, in the comic books, he was always, like, gutting sentinels and ripping things apart. It's like, well... In order to for his claws and his strength to penetrate the you've got to cross-reference this chart and then roll a percentile and perform like a shift Z plus strength feat, but he only has up to like a shift H strength.
Right.
So suck it. And that was basically what happened. And it was like, oh, really?
Because weren't you really angry about the fact that Wolverine couldn't penetrate a Sentinel because of the Sentinel size versus the Wolverine strength or something?
It was so terrible.
Yeah.
It hurt.
I would love to get this game and play it again drunk. Just drunk as hell.
I see a challenge.
Oh, I would love an at a Hankins Comics challenge. Get drunk and play this game and record it. Yeah, the primary mechanics for this game were column shifts and colored results. I know somebody else who believed in colored results.
God damn it. I was trying not to go there.
But there was. If you can look it up. There's this, it's almost like it's a graph where it's everything from like, what was it, ordinary to unearthly or something like that, and everything had a color result shift graph, and if you could get it in the red, then you did so much. It hurt. I really believe that this was the nerdiest of role-playing games that I've ever played, and I played a lot of second edition Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. I can still calculate Thaco based on armor classes, and this game was nerdier than that.
Thaco. It's not a gaming conversation until someone brings up Thaco.
Hey, Jordan, what's Thaco stand for?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
Oh, my God. You call yourself a role player.
I am getting into this, like, recently.
Kurt, what does Thaco stand for?
To hit armor class 0.
That's right. So everything in AD&D 2nd Edition was based on your Thaco, which is your ability to hit armor class 0, not the modifiers that would give it plus or minus armor class, plus, you know, level modifiers. And what... It is a Lovecraftian theorem. I'm convinced that somebody invented, if I could take this and plug it into, like, a Sandy Peterson Cthulhu world, and I still might, that this game was the formula that was going to wake the ancient sleeping ones from their depthful slumber and bring them back to life, because somebody would eventually hit on the right combination of short sword, armor, and eventually it's like, oh, Cthulhu has awoken. Why, I only hit him. I had a short sword. I had a whip. What's my whip speed?
But what's Cthulhu's Thaco score?
Oh, dude, it's only like a 2.
Yep, not going to do it.
Not going to do it. Sorry. Sorry, Cthulhu. You got to roll 2 natural 20s.
Got to roll 2 natural 20s and a shift X intelligence.
No. So, I've got a question for you guys, and I already know my answer. I just want to know one guy, or one person. It could be a woman. I don't want to be... everything's fluid. Cisgender.
One individual
that you would want to play a role-playing game with, alive or dead, whenever. Who sits at your table in a perfect world?
I am going to go with the answer of Vin Diesel, just because I want to hang out with Vin Diesel.
But you're going with that could actually happen.
Yeah, I still don't care.
Vin Diesel. Because that could actually happen. Like, he plays Dungeons & Dragons. That could actually happen.
I know, but he's, like, kind of my hero, because he had his D&D character's name tattooed on his chest during XXX. I mean, seriously. That level of nerd commitment.
That's pretty rad.
It is. I mean, I'd like to play a game with H.P. Lovecraft, but I have a feeling that he'd probably be kind of a rules lawyer. And then just trying to make shit up. I mean, like, dude, that's totally... No, according to these rules... No, Lovecraft, stop it.
Read the Necronomicon... Shut up! That's a cookbook. All that is a Betty Crocker cookbook. It has the plaid cover. You can't tell me the mad Alcazar... Shut the fuck up, Lovecraft. Eat your Cheetos.
Can I have some Mountain Dew? No, Lovecraft, you can't have any more Mountain Dew.
You're cut off from Mountain Dew, Howard. I would just call him Howard. Nothing would piss him off more than calling him Howard all the time. Like, it's your turn, Howard. I'll have you know. I'll have you know, Howard. Jordan, what about you? Who do you want?
Felicia Day.
You just want to bang Felicia Day.
Yes.
I can neither confirm nor deny that statement, because... See, I wouldn't be able to play a game with her. I would just sit there and try to offer her things the whole time. I'd be like giving her my dice, my books,
your penis, my soul.
She is a ginger.
I still don't think she's attractive.
Dude,
I'm sorry for Lisa Day. I'm sure you're a wonderful person. What's that?
I almost stepped on her in real life. Not even making that up.
Now you have to tell the story, because you can't just say that on a podcast and not back it up.
I didn't even know what to say. Like, we're at a, I believe she was at Origins Game Fair a few years back, and I'm walking around there with a buddy of mine. We're just looking at stuff, and Tiny Redhead comes around the corner, and I'm my big oafish, you know, 6'5" self. I go, oh, I like almost step on her because it blindsides me, and looks up, and it's Felicia Day, and I just froze. Because I didn't know what to do. And then we lapped her stalkerish like several times. Should we say hi to Felicia Day? I don't know if we should say hi to Felicia Day. Kirk, could you say hi to Felicia Day? Potato. And that's about all I could do.
That's it. You've got potato. That's...
And I decided it would just be best just to leave her alone for both of our sakes, because she'd get, like, you know, embarrassed, and I would just probably turn into a puddle.
Well, when I met her, she was really cool, so I imagine you could have just met her.
Oh, I know. I could have just met her, but I mean, man. Like, damn. She's like a 10. She's a 10.
She's a Kurt 10.
Yep.
She's a Kurt 10.
It's all about the nerdy. The nerdy and the, like, awkward anxiety issues.
So why Felicia Day, Jordan? We know why Kurt. Kurt has explained in great depths why.
I can get a pie chart out.
That's what he calls his dick. Calls his dick the pie chart.
He's not even making that up.
I'm not. I call mine the Venn diagram. Very small portion. Just right there in the middle. So why, Jordan? Why? Did you die? I think we killed Jordan.
No, I actually think as a player she would be fun. She'd at least know how to play, not just the technical side of it, but also the role-playing side of it. I think that would be fun to have more people able to do that, and then also everything Kurt stated.
Don't give him validity. Don't will Kurt into existence, please. Don't give his thoughts form. No one needs... Kurt does not need, like psychic worshippers. The stuff comes true. I've seen it happen. My cat, Carmen, exists because Kurt willed it into being. Carmen was a perfectly normal cat until Kurt decided to make my cat into what my cat became.
I have no responsibility for what your cat became.
My cat became a murloc from World of Warcraft at some point, and Kurt did that. I'm convinced.
Okay, that might have been me.
I'm convinced Kurt made that happen. So yeah, it's good. Anybody else that you would want to have at your table?
I would like to say something really badass, like, you know, Nikola Tesla, but let's see, Nikola Tesla was crazier than a shithouse rat, so that wouldn't have been any fun either.
It would have been boring with Nikola Tesla. It would have
been. He's, like, so neurotic, he would have spent... No, nothing would happen.
See, upon much thought about this, I decided that the best person I could possibly imagine to sit down and play any tabletop role-playing game with would be St. James Street James.
Oh my god, that's genius.
Jordan, do you know who St. James Street James is?
No, Lord. That's a reference I don't understand.
All right, so St. James Street James is, first of all, he's a national fucking treasure, is what he is. Second of all, he is director auteur of such works as Pool Boy, FDR American Badass,
Darnell Hawkins,
Mouth Guitarist, and most recently, his magnum opus, Helen Keller Werewolf Hunter.
No, Helen Keller versus the Night Wolves.
That's what it got renamed as, yes, Helen Keller versus the Night Wolves. He's basically a fake... I can't call him a fake movie director, because he's a real movie director, but he puts on his persona, and he spells his name St. James, like S-T period James, S-T period James. So his name is St. James Street James. And if you've never seen Pool Boy,
Oh, that movie.
Movie. Best movie I've ever seen in my life. Sorry. Best movie starring Kevin Sorbo.
And Danny Trejo.
And Danny Trejo that I've ever seen in my life. But yes, St. James Street James. I just think he would bring a certain something to the table that I don't think I've ever experienced before.
It would be like playing with yourself, Andy. It really would.
I am doing that right now. Oh, we're talking about role-playing games. Kurt, tell me, because there was a game before the Marvel one. DC has one that was pretty good, but it's pretty straightforward. I believe in the DC game, if I'm not mistaken, do you create your own character or do you play as DC characters?
I believe in the DC game you created your own. I never actually played the DC game. I played the derivative game, the Batman role-playing game.
I play that all the time. That's well, where I just go out at night and yell, Justice!
And it was just like, the book is just like this purplish, like two shades of purple fade, all, you know, 80s looking with Batman and then role-playing game, the bat symbol in the middle, little DC stamp. And you made your character through that, like, as a knockoff system of the original DC game, or a simplified.
And so it was like an in-box game. I can't find any reference to this Batman role-playing game.
It is just one book, as far as I know. Mayfair Games, 1989. I have it brought up on my computer.
Wow, I found a PDF of it. We could play it right now. Do you want to make some characters? Anybody want to make some Batman characters?
Well, always.
I mean, I have my own version of the Batman role-playing game. Lacey doesn't like it very much. I just, in the night, I just get up and stand over and just yell justice at her a lot. And then I run off. And she's like, I hate it when she does that. And I'm like, fuck you, Gordon. And I just run off into the night. That's my version of the...
At least thanks to the new 52 continuity, you don't make her play in the wheelchair anymore when she's being Barbara.
Well,
demeaning.
I don't have to, but I still like it, just like Batman does. Let's be honest. He likes to feel...
Oh, God.
We've taken this podcast to a whole different place.
All I'm going to say is Barbara Gordon, wheelchair, bukkake. Now we have to...
No! Why are those the three words that are in your brain?
Those are some of the tamest three words that are in my brain.
those are the ones that you're allowed to say out loud. But there were games before this. Most notably, a system of gaming that had been around for a very long time was eventually picked up... by Steve Jackson Games, and was made later, because people were using this to make superhero characters long before there was an actual superhero rule book for it. But then in 89, they actually released a specific set of rules for the GURPS Super Edition.
GURPS!
GURPS. Kurt has very strong feelings about GURPS.
Dude, GURPS is the most amazing game that I never got to play.
So why did you...
GURPS.
Are you familiar with GURPS? Jordan?
No.
Okay, so GURPS is an open... Define it, Kurt. You can do it better than I can.
Well, the name says it all. It's a generic universal role-playing system. It's an open, like, world... Like, the core book has a little bit of everything, but mostly just making people. And the various expansion books, like, add superheroes or monsters or vampires. GURPS made a supplement of everything. They made a GURPS version of all the White Wolf games.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. They had GURPS Vampire the Masquerade, GURPS Werewolf the Apocalypse.
Ooh, that's one I remember, the Masquerade.
Of course you did, nerd.
Oh, GURPS Superheroes, GURPS Space.
I say that to you like I never played it. That's the funny thing. I'm like, nerd. I was totally, what was I, in the World of Darkness game that I played? Was I a changeling? I'm probably a changeling.
You're better a Toreador.
Well, I never played as a vampire, because that seemed too gauche.
The fact that you used the word gauche makes you a Toreador, right there.
that's the least of the things it makes me.
I ended up as a ghoul in that game. That's all I remember from that campaign.
Did you live-action roleplay it, or did you tabletop roleplay it?
Oh, tabletopped.
Then you haven't lived until you've been embarrassed in public.
I have LARPed four of those games.
You tried to get me to LARP one of those games with you.
I believe so.
And I didn't.
I have LARPed a vampire, I've LARPed a werewolf, I've LARPed a wraith, I've LARPed a changeling. And then I've played all of them on tabletop.
I like the fact that he just yells the word, I LARPed.
Yep.
It's not a verb. Not a verb. I'm sorry, but I gotta stand by this. The word LARP is not a verb.
Live-action role-played.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know the world.
I LARP.
I don't know the world we live in anymore. Okay?
You didn't know the world we lived in before.
I mean, that's true. That's true. I live in a podcast world of lollipops and gumdrops. My problem with GURPS is that it's too open. If you ever wanted to have Batman fight... Well, I can't say that about Batman. If you ever wanted to have Captain America fight a barbarian who was also a vampire but half a tiger, you could do it in GURPS. You shouldn't do it in GURPS. That's what I'm saying.
You could do that in regular DC Comics continuity. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, Commandy. You could certainly figure something with that out. Give it to Grant Morrison for a week. He's going to come back all gacked out. I got an idea. Have you slept? No. It's all cocaine and green tea. But I got an idea.
Just lock Grant Morrison and Matt Fraction in a room together and see what happens.
They become one person. They become some weird...
I guarantee the amalgam would happen again. I've been waiting on
that. No. No. God, I hate... Why would you even...
The amalgam shall rise.
I think that there should be an amalgam role-playing game. Where the only way you can make a character is by combining two characters from different universes together.
Yes.
I think that's the way we should play it. But yeah, so... That's what... So what? Why do you say you've never played it? You just haven't played it?
Me back in the day, like, you know, young Kurt, the tiny one. Well, tinier, you know, I don't know. I'm big. But regardless, we used to buy the books and get all the stuff together. And, like, our friends would make characters and do all this stuff. And, you know, school and schedules and whatnot. And you'd spend, like, an entire weekend making all of our characters. We're going to get ready to play. And then we wouldn't meet again for, like, 2 weeks. And then we'd get together and make new characters. And, you know, another book would come out. And...
They literally would release, like, a book a week, though. That's the thing.
I never got to play. The only game that was more frustrating, which I actually did get to play, was Rifts.
See, I never played Rifts.
Rifts is the game you just... When you decide that balance does not matter, and just kind of say, fuck it, that's how I describe it. That's playing Rifts.
Didn't we play that game? What was it called? At the time, Scion, speaking of superhero role-playing games...
Scion was amazing.
That game was insane, dude.
Okay, the concept is solid. The mechanical execution of that game was flawed.
It was everyone was OP. No one was not overpowered in that game.
Well, in fact, if you weren't a strength or a combat character, I don't know, it's like, you can only be so smart to play that game. And the reason I say that is if you're dealing, like, human intelligence for all purposes, like, maxed out at a 5 in that game, and you had gods of, like, trickery and whatnot that had, like, a 10.
Right.
So how am I going to actually come up with a plan that all of my friends on par level with me are not going to figure out because it was a level 10 guy? Or just make shit up and say somehow it fit together.
Right.
But then you get, like, one of the combat-braced characters, that he's fighting a monster geared towards him. If that thing turns on any other character, they're instantly dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the balance of that just did not work. Like, the Son of Thor could go hand-to-hand with this creature, and, like, I don't know, the stepchild of Mercury, who's, like, this healer, goes, hey, what if I just dust?
Well, the thing was, the game was built very straightforward. Like, okay, so an encounter would be like, okay, there's a trap that you have to solve, there's a big monster you have to fight, there's a whole bunch of guys that you have to fight, there's, you know what I mean, there's a speed, like everything had its place, all the pieces of the puzzle were made to fit together until you got some asshole like Kurt or I that would decide to throw a monkey wrench into the entire works, and then it just didn't work anymore. Like, that was the problem with it, was like, okay, so you have to solve this trap, you get your guy with the 10 intelligence in there to solve this trap, then you got a whole army of people, so you get your big, you know, melee guys in there to fight those, like, army of people, like Hernan Cortez, just with his god guns, just blasting things. Then you had your big monster that you had to have your son of Thor or your son of Poseidon or whoever it was to fight that guy. And then, you know, you had to get out of there, so you had to rely on, you know, everything was very much like everybody had a role. But when I decide, you know, when your melee guy decides I'm gonna take on that monster, just runs in after him, then it's just like, oh fuck it, just everybody do whatever they're gonna do because nothing matters anymore.
Well, just the fact it's like, oh, the strength guy, like if he had a maximum strength, it's like he has 32 automatic successes on damage.
Right.
How many health levels does your non-combat guy have? 6.
Right.
So he literally, just a grazing hit, and he's atomized. It's like, wait. Could you wait a little?
So I also want to talk about some of the other tabletop games that aren't role-playing games. Because there are a bunch of those out there, too. Does anybody have any favorites that they can remember playing that were, like, tabletop games that weren't, like, role-playing games based around superheroes?
Heroclix?
Heroclix is the bane of my existence, and I want to melt them all down, make one giant, like, real sharp movie 7, like overtly sexual torture device, and strap it onto the founding members of WizKids and just let them run a train on each other. That's what I want to do with here. No, okay. Heroclix is actually pretty fun. When I was in Texas, I got to kind of adjudicate, and I actually ran a Heroclix video podcast for a while. Heroclix is fun to a point. Heroclix is fun with intermediate and novice players that just want to get the X-Men together to fight the Justice League. Like, that's the fun part of it. The unfun part of it is when you get people that are way too into it. Like, the rule system is so muddy and crazy that it's like D&D 2nd Edition for having to figure stuff out. Jordan played Heroclix.
I played Mage Knight.
Oh, Mage Knight, which is not Heroclix. Not even... See, the thing about Mage Knight is you went and you bought Mage Knight, right? And it's in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't necessarily have to go out and buy anything else to play Mage Knight. You had your box. And you opened your box, and you took out your board.
The random boosters.
You could get random boosters. You could. But there weren't super rare chase variants that if you managed to get one, nothing else mattered. Do what?
Game breakers.
Yeah, there weren't mechanic breakers in there like there were in Heroclix. Like, I remember, so there was a Heroclix, which is actually a pretty shitty playable Heroclix that they released in one of their sets while I was working at the game store. And that Heroclix was, do you remember in the New 52, I don't know if Jordan will remember it, I know Kurt well, do you remember the White Rabbit?
Yes.
So the lingerie-wearing, scantily clad White Rabbit.
Yeah, the objectification machine, gotcha.
Yeah, right. The Harley Quinnation of a character that just came into being, that they just decided this was a good idea, thanks Tony Daniel for that, was the first super, super rare chase variant figure. Like, it was one per every two, like cases would have one, and it was going for like $500. And we pulled one out of a case in R. A guy named Doug Swafford pulled one out of the case. Does not play Heroclix. It was the best thing ever. Because we had a very strong Heroclix community because we ran the podcast. We were the sanctioned event holder. So we had a pretty strong Heroclix community that would come in and play on Sunday nights. And this guy, who absolutely does not play Heroclix, like, at all, managed to whip out this friggin' figure. And everybody was so irate. No one was happy. No one was happy with that. But yeah, the Heroclix rule system is very bizarre, and you have to know the elevations, like what the lines on the map mean. Like this line means one level up, this line means you have cover, but if you have cover, then they can't hit you, but you can hit them, but if you're Batman, you always have cover. Like, that's just a part of the character. Like, if you have this Batman character, you just pretty much are covered all the time because you're Batman. Like, I don't know why you just wouldn't make a team of Batman. Nobody would be able to stop you. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Heroclix was fun, but just insane. Like, like, you'd get these guys on these boards, and I know I'm going to offend somebody, and I don't care, because I had to deal with them. that would be like, oh, well, you know, my Batmite's going to fly the poison ivy over to your Dr. Spectrum and drop him off so you get 1 point of poison, and then Despotalis is going to come in and attach himself to you, and you can't get... Like, and it's just like... It's like watching three-dimensional Magic players. Yeah, that's what it's like. It's awful. It's a bad thing to watch, but that's okay because it's still okay.
I'm only slightly offended.
I don't care whether you're offended. I don't care. You go sit in a smelly room with a bunch of smelly HeroClix players for 12 hours during a regional event, and tell me if I should care. No, nice people, good people, salt of the earth. Salt of the earth.
They're the gaming equivalent of carnies, Andy.
No, Yu-Gi-Oh.
Ooh. No, Yu-Gi-Oh is the 12-year-old gaming equivalent of carnies.
That's, but the most disturbing thing that you can see are grown men playing Pokemon, seriously.
I don't know, man. That's like all the hipster rage is Pokemon again.
Is it so. Really?
Yeah, it never went away.
Yeah, but like adult men, like not dads of kids trying to teach their kids to play, like men in their 20s together just playing Pokemon.
Dude, I'm pretty sure men in their 20s with neckbeards play ponies together, okay?
Oh, yeah, that happened.
I don't consider those people, though.
They're not. And if some of them are listening, I don't care if I've offended you because your existence hurts me. They're the leading buyers of vans without windows.
Well, I was about ready to say. Who do you think keeps the conversion van economy going? It's those people. But no, I have upstairs my favorite comic book board game. And it was a Batman game that was released in 1989. It glows in the dark.
Oh, God, you got that one?
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
What is this?
What's that, Jordan?
What game is this?
It's called Batman. That's it. It's just called Batman. It was released by Parker Brothers or Mattel, Milton Bradley. But it literally just plays like Candyman. You're Batman, and you're trying to catch villains. That's it. So much fun.
I'm looking at pictures of it right now.
It was in my parents' basement. I had to smuggle it out like the Shawshank Redemption. But I got it.
Is it the pink and like blue one, like the cover?
Let me see, because I don't think it's. Is it pink and blue?
Well, it's like pink and purple.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Yellow.
Yes. Yeah. It's. Yeah. It is. It's. It is that one. I've also played some of the Batman strategy games by WizKids that are pretty fun.
I thought about those.
Yeah. Those are pretty fun too. Like. The only problem with that is any of those games that... Yes, Kurt, that is the game. The game you're looking at is the game.
Sweet.
The game that you can buy on eBay for $75 or $15, depending.
Depending on the condition.
But it does glow in the dark, which is rad. No, my parents were holding it captive with my Batcave from the Batman movie in their basement, and I literally had to Andy Dufresne it out of that basement like Morgan Freeman was narrating... Me trying to get it out of there. Batman is free. But yeah, it's a super fun game. We should all play it sometime.
So just, you smuggled it out in your butt.
Dude, yes.
I'm not debating.
It was a choice.
It's like a bag of holding down there.
It was a choice. Your class ring is still in there. You should get that at some point.
You can keep it.
It keeps trying to come out, and I keep putting it back in. I don't... It's not that it's uncomfortable... It's that it's getting a little much. It's rattling around in there with my silver dollar collection. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
Have you tried putting more Starbursts in there to absorb the impact?
No, just Skittles. Because the hamster I keep in there likes to taste the rainbow.
God, our conversations devolve.
Oh, well, that's why I wanted you guys on the podcast. Jordan is horrified right now. I brought him on just because you can visualize the horror on poor Jordan's face right now. But the only other real game I wanted to talk about that's a tabletop game is Dice Masters, which I don't know. Have either of you played Dice Masters at all?
I have not.
Okay, based on the same basic premise as Quarriors, where it's a deck building game but with dice. So what you're trying to do is put your characters in play. You can buy a certain amount of dice, and each one of those dice has different values. When you roll it, does X amount of damage. The reason that the game, I think, works and is so fun, of all of these games that I've played like this, this one is my favorite, is because of the element of chance. Also because I can play as Constantine. He has really cool see-through dice that I really liked a lot. And also Nick Fury, because I get to use Nick Fury voice, which is basically Samuel L. Jackson voice when I play. But if
Man,
you get a chance,
I would have to do Nick Fury with David Hasselhoff voice.
Hey.
Don't hassle the Hoff.
Nobody hassles the Hoff on Hey Kids Comics. David Hasselhoff's Nick Fury is the truest representation of the character on celluloid that's ever been made. Jordan, have you ever watched Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. with David Hasselhoff?
No.
You wouldn't have been able to. It has been buried by our industrial entertainment complex to keep down what is one of the most brilliant films about superheroes ever. Next only to the Punisher movie with Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, Dolph.
But the only reason for that is the only reason that that movie was so good is because of that one scene with the weird doctor who's torturing him that's wearing high heels pumps and never explains it, and it's only for one scene. Which I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that's great. Thank God for that. Off topic.
The television movie with the Incredible Hulk and Daredevil.
Oh, that was bad. That was a bad one. The Thor one was worse, though. The Thor one was worse. Much worser than that one. The trial of the Incredible Hulk was awful. Well, I want to go off topic for a second. We'll bring it back around.
On topic?
But has everybody here seen Deadpool at this point?
Yes.
Okay. Do we all agree that it was pretty damn good?
Yeah.
Dude, that movie was amazing, and seriously, I think whoever wrote the tiny hand line was in my brain. Because I have said that, I swear to God. I couldn't breathe, I was laughing so hard.
That movie got some weird laughs, though. Like, there were a couple of really funny lines that didn't get any laughs, and then a couple of lines that I were like, well, that I guess that's it's funny-ish, that got really big laughs in the theater, and I'm not sure why that is. But beyond that, it was an awesome movie. But beyond the fact that it was just flat out an awesome movie, right? They come in at the end. I'm going to spoil it. I don't care because I think it's pretty well known at this point that the next Daredevil movie, a / X-Force movie.
The Deadpool movie.
Is that what I say, Daredevil?
Yep.
Oh, that's
Ben Affleck rides again.
God, I wish. God, I wish.
I love that movie.
The director's cut was a fine film.
It is.
It was a fine film. They cut out some of the love story, had more Wilson Fisk. It was a good movie. But the Deadpool movie, I think it's pretty well known that it's going to have Cable in it. And the only person I've seen anybody talking about being Cable is Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, man. And Stephen Lang.
Stephen Lang wants the role.
And I know, that's why he should have it.
He should get the role. Because he's awesome. Stephen Lang is awesome. Dolph Lundgren, if Dolph Lundgren gets the role of Cable, I'm going to do something unfortunate.
Dude, Dolph Lundgren's on my shit list right now for Kindergarten Cop 2.
Kindergarten Cop 2!
Direct to video.
Who greenlit that? That's what I want to know. Who was like, yep, make it.
And it just suddenly happened. No one even knew it was being made. It's like, oh, by the way, this is being released. What?
Is that a Yuva Bowl film?
That would actually probably make it better, even though I hate the man.
I don't know how you could hate Yuva Bowl.
I don't even have enough time.
I got four words for you that make Yuva Bowl the best director in the world. And that's Name of the King.
The only movie of his that wasn't complete and total sack of buttholes was Postal.
Postal was
that
great.
That movie was so ridiculous.
Postal was great, but you know what else was great? Blood Rain.
Death by 10,000 Monkeys.
Blood Rain.
We will not talk about Blood Rain.
Blood Rain.
It did have Billy Zane.
Number one, it had Billy Zane. It had Christiana Loken in it.
And Meatloaf.
And motherfucking Meatloaf.
Michael Madsen, I believe.
It did have Michael Madsen in it.
And Sir Ben Kingsley. It's like you had such a recipe for win, and then you handed it to Uwe Boll, and like, done.
And people kept doing that over and over again.
They still are.
So let's talk a little bit, as we roll up the show, let's talk a little bit about video games.
The Batman game for the NES.
Oh, I have that action figure.
I had the game.
God, I wish I still had that game.
I remember beating it, and that was the hardest experience of my entire life.
That was your Battletoads?
That was my Battletoads.
Wait a second. Don Michael Paul is the director of Kindergarten Cop 2. The man wrote the screenplay for Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man.
Now he's got a little bit of respect.
I can give him I'll give him a shot.
Now if it was Tango and Cash, I'd have been sold.
I would have been sold. Oh my god, do you know who else is in this movie? Dolph Lundgren, and it looks to be, I have to imagine, is that Bill Bellamy? I think that's Bill Bellamy.
Is he still alive?
It is Bill Bellamy. It's fucking Bill Bellamy. I'm the happiest man alive right now. Kurt, we're going to have a viewing party for this movie. Just so you know.
I'll get alcohol.
That's going to happen. Oh, he also directed, what else did he direct? God, this guy's been an actor in shit, too. This is unfortunate. This is all unfortunate. So Batman, the 1980, the purple and blue Batman.
Yep.
Because he was definitely purple and blue. I would like to have this game in my collection of Batman memorabilia.
So hard.
You know what games suck? Superman. Did you ever play Superman for the Nintendo 64?
I heard it was awful. Wasn't there an Aquaman game that was worse?
I don't think it got popular release, did it? I know the Superman game did because I had it. It was real bad. It was real bad. Jordan, do you ever play any superhero games?
The only one I ever really played was the Spider-Man game after the movie was released.
That game was fun, though.
Yeah, you could swing from everything, but that's about all I did.
What Kurt does on a Saturday night. Isn't that the one where you can unlock? It was the first game I can remember where you can unlock all the costumes.
Yes.
You unlock the costumes and you had to go collect like photos to do it.
Which Batman game was that?
The Spider-Man game.
Or Spider-Man, I mean.
It was the one, I think it was just called Spider-Man. It was right after the movie came out. It was for the PlayStation 2.
I think I played that with my nephew.
It was a fun game. Played it. I was night managing a Hampton Inns and Suites, and me and a guy Andrew used to set up a PlayStation 2 in there and play it all night long. That and Dead or Alive, just because we like to see them titties bounce.
They had their own physics engine.
They did.
They had an option to turn it on or off.
It's fantastic.
I remember that for the PlayStation 1, was it?
Yes.
Rest, yeah. On or off.
On,
why
please.
Why do you even have this as an option?
On, please.
On, please.
The mustache on or off.
Too bad.
Too bad.
You know, I always bought those games for their play quality.
Well, yeah, you had to play test them.
Yeah.
You bought them for the articles.
Yeah.
just don't damage your joystick.
Did you guys ever play the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games?
Yes.
Those games were incredibly good.
Those games, they reminded me of the Baldur's Gate games for the PS2 and all that, but in the superhero form. It was
they
like,
were so good. They were so much fun, where you could choose your squad.
And switch back and forth between the different guys.
To do different things, yeah. Oh, those games were fun.
Did you guys ever play the superhero MMOs?
Yes. City of Heroes, man.
Oh,
I love that game so much.
The best part of that game was waiting near the player creation or spawn area and just seeing how many vulgar and obscene names were allowed through.
Who made it past?
I literally, my old roommate can attest to this. I spent hours just making characters in that game.
Oh, I can attest to it.
The character creator was actually pretty lovely.
It was amazing. And they still haven't got anything as detailed, in my opinion, as that.
I remember that. I remember. Well, Kurt is a character creator, much like Lacey is, where they will spend way more time making characters than actually playing a game, regardless of whether it's a tabletop game, an online game. Yeah, she's mouthing Skyrim at me right now.
Oh yeah, the first 7 hours of Skyrim went into character creation.
Is there even a game for you in that? The game is. When Lacey plays Skyrim, it's 80% character creation, 20% alchemy. I swear, she probably has logged I don't know how many tens of 50s of hours into this game, and the mass majority of it is just her standing over a table going, quirk, 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 just mixing herbs like. Like, you could just do that and make an Etsy store and actually make money doing it instead of just sitting in a...
Skyrim Etsy edition.
Skyrim Etsy edition. If they had that, she would probably do... Can I just get a game where all I do is just make herb shit?
It's called Cooking Mama.
Yeah, it's called Cooking Mama. I'm getting yelled at. It's the first time I've ever had Cooking Mama yelled vehemently at me in my life.
I have a friend with... Cooking Mama tattooed on it.
No! Yes. Is her name Kurt?
Oh, no. His name.
His name! I've got one question, and then we're going to wrap this up, and we'll say goodnight. So we already talked about what person you would want to play D&D with. If you were starting I want like three or four from each person. If you were starting a straight-up Dungeons & Dragons campaign, what three or four like comic book characters would you want in the party that was playing in your campaign? Kurt, you go first.
Three or four characters?
Yeah, just like any comic book character that you could just like throw into a campaign. Not that's playing the characters that are actually playing in your campaign.
Let's see, if it's D&D, I'm going to have to go probably with Thor, as you know, your fighter powerhouse.
Okay.
Thor. I mean, come on.
Your meat shield.
Doctor Strange,
because
it's Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to throw John Constantine also in there, because I can't. He is your rogue and your bard and your sorcerer all in one.
And you want to have sex with him?
Who doesn't? It's John Constantine.
I mean, you're going to have to get a hold of Alan Moore to figure out where he is. He'll probably have sex with you.
Doesn't even know where he is. Constantine goes where he's needed.
Jesus, you're a crazy person.
I am not crazy.
All right, so that's three.
Jeez. Batman. Why the fuck not?
Why not? Batman.
Throwing Batman. You got two DCs and you got two,
Just stack a Batman in there for good measure.
Stack a member of the Bat family in there. I'd go like... with Nightwing, but I'd abhor the Thief Acrobat class.
That's...
What about you? Remember that.
What about you, Jordan?
I want to start this by saying that's my favorite class.
You know, that was a specialized. You had to. It's a prestige class. I mean, you had to take certain attributes to get the whore acrobat thief class.
And whore, not a whore. We're not talking about our past love lives in this game.
God, I wish. I wish.
No.
I would take him as the whore.
I would go with, take the Hulk. I mean, you gotta have a tank.
Okay.
Ooh, Daredevil, because I wouldn't need a DM screen.
Ah! Damn it! Attacking disabilities! Welcome to Hey Kids Comics. Some things never change. I want to take a...
Gambit. Ooh, Gambit.
Shang-Chi Master of Kung Fu so I can go, I saw a lot. And, yes, Gambit's good.
Let's see.
See, right now I'm a little disappointed because nobody's taken the character that I thought would be first and foremost.
Who'd you have?
All I want is Nightcrawler.
Well, see, that's what I was just thinking about.
All I want is Nightcrawler. If I had Nightcrawler in there, that's all you would need. And Dazzler. I would take Dazzler and Nightcrawler.
Ooh, throw in Longshot.
I was thinking Nightcrawler, and then I started thinking of the Nightcrawler death scene, and I got sad. So
We don't like to talk about that.
We don't talk about that.
Or how now he's out of heaven.
You mean the Wolverine Blizzard scene?
We're not even going to... I don't even know.
All right, and we're going to wrap this up. Does anyone have any parting thoughts? Any game that they would like to suggest people try to play?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's an out-of-print tabletop game, but I think it's absolutely awesome. It's called Brave New World.
Okay.
It's an alternate Earth version of superheroes, where the fascist United States is run by President for Life, JFK.
Okay.
The assassination attempt killed Jackie.
Oh, no.
It's actually extremely interesting how everything was set up. It's based on, two power levels of characters, but the superpowered one's gone. But it's all vanished. And now you're left with the regular ones. It's kind of the Mutant Registration Act, and superheroes are outlawed.
It's a
nice kind of superhero noir, alternate, 1980s, 90s game.
Okay.
They do have, actually, World War II expansions, too, for when it all started. But it's all D6 system. It was based off Pinnacle Games, and it's... one of the best games I had a good time playing.
That's awesome. That's cool. Jordan, what about you?
Actually, I'll recommend Imperial Assault.
Okay.
It's been pretty fun. I've been playing that recently. We've actually been playing that one alongside X-Wing as well. So,
how did you overcome the small map syndrome?
For Imperial Assault?
Yeah.
We bought three of the expansions and have just been making our own maps.
Oh, okay. Well, that works.
Yeah, I've actually got it, and I'm just like, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been playing, Imperial Assault for the actual campaign part, the fighting things, and then we'll switch to X-Wing for the travel between worlds. It's been a pretty fun...
That's kind of cool. That's a good idea.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, it's been pretty enjoyable.
Has anybody tried Star Wars Armada yet?
No, we were looking at the Star Wars D20 game, or not the D20, the Fantasy Flight one.
It is amazing. I have every book.
Yeah, see, that's what we're running into. We don't have every book.
What? Which one, Kurt?
There's actually three.
The Outer Rims or the...
There's, what is it? Force and Destiny.
That's the one we're missing. It's Force and
Destiny. Age of Rebellion. And Edge of the Empire.
Edge of the Empire is what I was thinking of. I've played Edge of Rebellion. It was pretty fun.
Which you don't need them all, honestly. It's the general campaign, you just run one of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Because mixing, and they all have, weird side traits. Like, there's the whole, rebellions have, some sort of reliability thing on how they are. The outlaws have a different thing for, basically, where their debts and things they owe come calling.
Yeah, that's always fun. we were looking at those recently. You can take addiction.
Yeah.
Which is... Any DM that gives a player addiction is an ass.
Oh, no, you get to pick it. And we had one of our players pick a 20-point addiction to gambling.
Oh, no, we were talking a 20-point addiction to...
Death sticks?
Death sticks, yeah, because...
You want some death sticks?
If you don't smoke death sticks, you get a -1 penalty, or a -4 penalty. But if you smoke death sticks, you get, a -5 penalty.
Don't want some death sticks.
To every roll. It doesn't matter what it is.
That's awesome. See, for me, I'm going to fall back on, and this has nothing to do with comic books, I don't care, fall back on a Kurt and Andy favorite, which is Arkham Horror.
Love that game.
Set aside a good 12 hours and play through Arkham Horror. It's super fun. It isn't just a set up and play game, so give yourself some time to figure it out. But
don't make any plans that day, game.
Yeah, really. But it's incredibly fun. I still need to pick up a copy of it. It's wildly fun. All right, so I'm gonna wrap it up and we're gonna get out of here. In advance, I would like to thank Kurt and Jordan for joining me tonight. You guys really brought it. I appreciate it. And I hope that you'll join me in future episodes. when the topics arise that you guys are comfortable doing.
Well, since I don't have to censor myself as much as the last time I was podcasting with you.
That was another show. That was,
I know.
That was another show.
This is liberating.
This show's a hard R, buddy.
I'll show you a hard R.
You have. You have.
That's the worst pirate.
It's the most curvy, sharp letter in the alphabet. All right, so thank you guys for joining me. Thank everybody out there for joining me. This is coming to you from the Jedi Cole universe at JediCole.com. Hit up Jedi Cole for this podcast and all the other amazing podcasts. Lots of news coming up for AllCon this year. The Jedi Cole universe as well as Half-Ass Productions are going to be putting on a whole slew of new and returning game shows and content. They have their own gaming room this time that's solely dedicated. We don't have to keep moving around. You guys won't have to keep going from place to place if you guys want to know where one of the game shows is. We have certain rooms dedicated to those game shows. Going to be super fun. Take your tickets at every show so you can be entered into the grand prize drawing at the end. There have been some awesome grand prizes in the past, and this year will be no exception. That's coming up in AllCon in March. If you want to know where AllCon and when AllCon is, as well as all the other conventions in Texas. We haven't talked them into doing Ohio yet, but there's only like three, so it wouldn't be that hard. But in Texas, there are over 100 conventions a year. If you want to know what any of those conventions are coming up for 2016, and I'm sure that 2017 is going to start trickling in soon, go to the Convention Awareness Project Texas. Just search it on Google, or go to captx.com. You can find all the information on any of the conventions in Texas. Other than that, I think that's about it. I'm going to wrap her up. Guys, thank you again for coming and joining us. We greatly appreciate it. As always, buy, collect, and enjoy your comics, but also go enjoy some tabletop role-playing games. Go find that copy of that old TSR-ass Marvel game and frustrate yourself for a while, but it's still really fun. You can really piss off your game master with that one. So, guys, say goodnight.
Good night.
God, I miss Kurt saying that into my ear while rubbing the small of my back.
You're still in awe of how I got into your room with the door locked.
Well, you're like Tombs in the X-Files. You just squeeze yourself through the vents.
Well, I was wanting to sleep tonight.
Night-night! Keep your butthole tight! Alright. Join us next week where I have a very special guest for a very live episode. It certainly is going to be that. It's going to be a two-parter, and it should be super interesting. So good night, everybody. And join us next week for more Hey Kids Comics.